From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from John 14 and verse 21, "And will manifest myself to him." The Lord Jesus gives special revelations of himself to his people. Even if Scripture did not declare this, there are many of the children of God who could testify the truth of it from their own experience. They have had manifestations of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a peculiar manner, such as no mere reading or hearing could afford. In the biographies of eminent saints, you will find many instances recorded in which Jesus has been pleased in a very special manner to speak to their souls and to unfold the wonders of his person. Yea, so have their souls been steeped in happiness that they have thought themselves to be in heaven, whereas they were not there, though they were well nigh on the threshold of it. For when Jesus manifests himself to his people, it is heaven on earth, it is paradise in embryo. It is bliss begun. Special manifestations of Christ exercise a holy influence on the believer's heart. One effect will be humility. If a man says, "I've had such and such spiritual communications, I am a great man," he has never had any communion with Jesus at all. "For God hath respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off." He does not need to come near them to know them, and will never give them any visits of love. Another effect will be happiness, for in God's presence there are pleasures forevermore. Holiness will be sure to follow. A man who has no holiness has never had this manifestation. Some men profess a great deal, but we must not believe anyone unless we see that his deeds answer to what he says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. He will not bestow his favors upon the wicked. For while he will not cast away the perfect man, neither will he respect an evildoer. Thus there will be three effects of nearness to Jesus: humility, happiness, and holiness. May God give them to thee, Christian.
Son of God, forsaken, the As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know that the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responded to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here is an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. This week on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns has been bringing a message called Help While We Hope. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 27. As Dr. Cairns has explained from verse 24, the believer's hope is the objective reality that is the culmination of his faith, his entrance into glory. This hope is what sustains God's people in times of adversity. For gospel assurance leads to endurance in the trials of life. Verse 26 reveals a hindrance that detains us as we seek to go on with God. We often suffer from what the Apostle Paul calls our infirmities, our weaknesses in the place of prayer. But there is help to sustain us, for the same verse declares that the Spirit helps our infirmities. Here we see the glorious truth of the Holy Spirit's intercession for the saints before the Father. Ultimately, the secret to prevailing in the place of prayer is a constantly refreshed sight of the cross and of glory. Now Dr. Cairns will conclude this message called Help While We Hope.
The Spirit of God is the third person of the eternal Trinity. The Spirit of God is the personal representative of Jesus Christ among His people. The Spirit of God is to the body of Christ today what the living person, presence, and body of Christ was to His disciples as He walked the streets and roads of Galilee and Judea with them. The Holy Spirit, the Vicar of Christ, the Holy Spirit who comes to help God's people. And He does so by interceding. Interceding. Interceding for us. But the whole context here is interceding from within us. Now think of this. We are weak, but He is strong. We are ignorant, but He knows the will of God. And He lifts to the throne groanings that cannot be uttered. Why would it say that? Well, get again the context. We don't know what to pray. Have you ever been in a place where you're just before God? Now, I'll come back over this ground in a moment from another angle. But I want you just to follow me here. Have you ever been in this place where you're just before God? And all you can do is appear before Him. You don't know what to pray. Weakness overwhelms you. The devil would tell you, it's all through with you, you know. You can't get anything from God. At that very time, the Holy Spirit is groaning from within us, interceding. We do not know the words, we cannot utter the words, but God speaking to God. That's the picture. From within this temple of the Holy Ghost, there arises to God a cry that God can hear and God will answer. The result is that He helps us. He maintains us patiently to endure in the light of our hope. He enables us to go on despite our weakness. You think, I can't take another step. But He gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. Have you not looked at life, say, a year ago, 5 years ago, and said, I can't make it another day? And yet here you are. You've not only made it, but in the will of God, you're here to worship Him and serve Him and be useful to Him and prove Him. Yes, He'll enable you to go on, and then He'll enlighten you to pray. See, I said it would come to this groaning from another angle. There is a theory that has got abroad. It's not so popular now, at least I haven't heard it around here, as it was in certain quarters, that the highest form of prayer is really to be brought to that place where you can say nothing, and it's just this inward groaning of the Holy Ghost. That's not what the text is saying. Martin Lloyd-Jones told his congregation, this is the last resort, as it were. This is when you can't pray. The Holy Ghost will take over. But you should seek to pray. The Holy Ghost's groanings help you to pray. By this, the Holy Ghost is helping your infirmities. He's holding you up. He is dissipating your weakness, and He's giving you a new strength. And the result of that will be that you will be able to pray. Hosea 14 verse 2 tells us about prayer. Take with you words and say unto Him. Goes on to tell you what to say. The Lord Jesus said, when ye pray, say, and He gave you the words. So words are important in prayer. Now, they're not the only thing in prayer. There is an attitude in prayer. There is a communication of spirit with spirit in prayer. This is not just a matter of talk from the teeth out. This is something from the depths of the heart. I realize that. But we are humans. And for humans, the expression of thought and meaning can only be by words. Take with you words. Earlier in the spirit, in the chapter, we read of the spirit of adoption. Well, now we see the same spirit, and He's the spirit of prayer. We ought to be praying, and how often in the prayer meeting I have brought this to your attention, and I've pleaded this as a promise and asked you to plead it as a promise. It's a great cry to God. We are asking for the spirit of grace and of supplications. You see, if you learn anything from Romans chapter 8 in this passage, you learn in this waiting time, if you're going to endure, you've got to pray. You've got to get through to God. We must get through to God. That's true of you individually. We have this monstrous situation of Christians trying to live without prayer or with a minimum of prayer. Is it any wonder that we're tripping up all over the place? We heard the choir sing this morning, "Take time to be holy, speak oft with the Lord." I actually was going to go into them and when I heard them practicing and say, change the last line of that hymn. Make it a wee bit better. It says, take time for the Lord. I hate that. Don't like that. That "for" sticks out like a sore thumb. Doesn't sound right. The real thing is take time with the Lord. It's not you give the Lord some time. I've now got the Lord looked after. I've had time for God today. No, no, no. You take time with the Lord. That's the need. That's the need for this church. We face a bleak future as a church unless this church really gives itself to prayer. But we face a bright future if we will give ourselves to prayer. We need to pray. But we're weak. Here's the help. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. And He'll help us to overcome our inability and our ignorance. And the result of His inward groaning will be that He will strengthen us to pray. So tonight, let's keep the hope before us. Let's keep the hope before us. I said last week that, you know, this is so glorious, and yet we tend not to keep it right in front of our minds. I think, to be quite honest, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ has become something of an embarrassment to most Christians and most churches. It's one of those things they say, yeah, believe in, but, you know. And the reason for that is there have been so many crackpots running around talking the greatest load of rubbish. I mean, when you stop to think of it, you think of the Left Behind series and all the rest of that rubbish, and they sold about 60 million, was it, Norm? 60 million books, something like that. You realize every single prophecy that Hal, was it Hal Lindsey did that? What do you call him? Tim LaHaye? You realize that every prophecy is ever made about the second coming of Christ has never come to pass? You realize that? You take all the books that have been written, and, you know, they've been sensationalized. Oh, it sells books, it makes money. But it ends up being an embarrassment. How subtle the devil is. Because, you see, this is our hope. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. This is a driving force. Christians are caught between the two eternities. We're looking back to what God planned. And we're looking forward to the consummation of the plan. We look back to the cross. We look forward to the crown. And if you try to look back without looking forward, you're certainly going to have only a caricature of Christianity. If you look forward without going back to the cross, you're also going to have a caricature of Christianity. But oh, if you're standing in the full Lord glory of Calvary and the coming of Christ, then you can with patience endure. That's what we're called to do. So as we struggle on toward heaven, as Mrs. Cousins wrote, mid toil and wind and strife. Let's rejoice that we're not struggling alone. The Holy Ghost is in us. Are you saved? Then the Holy Ghost is in you. Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. The living Spirit of the living God inhabits every born-again believer. He's in us and He's with us, and He is our helper. Spiritual help. Oh, I want you to get that tonight. The devil wants you to leave God's house hopeless. There's no hope for me. There's no hope for my life. There's no hope of betterment. There's no hope of me ever amounting to anything. There's no hope. There's no hope. We hear, you realize, across, because of this financial crisis, you realize across the world, here and there, people are blowing their brains out, jumping out of buildings, killing themselves. Not only for a financial crisis, we have a little town in Northern Ireland. And within a 4 or 5 or 6 mile radius, in that little country town, it's an idyllic place, a lovely part of the country. It's part of the Garden of Ulster. One young teenager after another has committed suicide. Do you know what leads to suicide? Hopelessness. There's no hope. There's no hope. That's where the devil wants you. That you have no hope. No hope for my life. No hope for my marriage. No hope for my family. And it's the devil's lie. The Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities. He is our helper. He will lighten the load. Keeping that hope before us, He will lead us on until hope gives place to sight. I'm glad that one day the hope will be realized. It's a great thing about Bible hope. Paul says, this hope maketh not ashamed. You see, you'll never, 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 not in 10 million eternities, could it ever be that God will fail to do what He's promised or fail to give what Christ has purchased. Can't be. You'll never trust Him in vain. You'll never believe on Him and be put to shame. He that believeth on Him shall not be put to shame. That's the promise of God. Here's our hope. There it is out there before us. The devil tells you it's a long time in coming. They've been saying Jesus is coming again for 2,000 years. He hasn't come yet. And you can be glad He hasn't come yet. If He had come 1,000 years ago, where would you be? Nowhere. You wouldn't be at all. So if you're part of His plan, you can be thankful He hasn't come yet. He'll come at the right time. He knows what He's doing. But the devil says, hey, I've been hearing this for years. Give it up. No, no, no. Give it up. No, no, no. There's the hope before us. That's our hope. That's our certainty. That's more certain than the fact that the sun will rise tomorrow morning. That's our certainty. With that hope before us and the help of the Spirit maintaining us, we can overcome every hindrance. There is help while we hope.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak.
the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.